Ding dong! Today's show is brought to you by Casper.com. Receive $50 towards any mattress purchase at www.caspertrial.com/Las Culturistas.
And by WarbyParker.com. Get a free 5-day home try-on at www.warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas. 5 pairs, 5 days, 100% free.
Las Culturistas is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network. Be sure to check out more original comedy podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com.
And if you love Las Culturistas, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and a laudatory endorsement.
Now,
dive in!
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, Aiko, ande, Giacomo Fino, anane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Zazazoo Sex in the City reference for
when
you.
When I think how life used to be, always walking in the shadows. That is the beginning of Blessed by Christina Aguilera.
We were just talking about this, and we were just, and we had to really hold off on recording because Matt was masticating on a goddamn pina colada muffin, which is the most
Thank
Matt
you,
Rogers
LA.
Thing I've ever heard.
And the reason I started to sing Blessed.
Yes. It's because we are blessed.
Was because of how I feel today.
With this guest, honey.
Bless up, which is something we've been saying a lot in LA. I don't know. Will we carry it back to us when we get back to New York? Stay tuned. However, for this moment right now, we feel certainly that way.
Certainly, I feel the need to say bless up with our guest. Let's go through the credits, Matt.
I would love to list off some of these credits.
Come on.
He is on the UCB Harold team, Nomi Malone. And if you thought that was enough, he's also on the UCB Mod team the summer of. Because guess what? It wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough, and he's a little double dipper, honey. He's a versatile queen.
Versatile crocodile.
And you also might know our guest from his amazing series where he reads on Facebook Live Tyra Banks's amazing novel, Modelland, with special guests. And you might also know him from his monthly show, I Will Always Love You, at UCB's Inner Sanctum.
He is known as the Oprah of improv.
He's the Oprah of improv, the Oprah of comedy, the Oprah of my life. Everyone, please welcome
Oscar Montoya.
Those were the kindest words I've ever heard anyone say about me.
Bish, we are kind here. Don't you ever forget it.
Here's the thing. I wouldn't just say it.
People, you wouldn't just say it?
People have said that to me. They've said, you know, Oscar, as an improv coach, he's like Oprah.
And I will say this, and this is like sentimental as
the
hell.
The gag of the year.
I will say this is sentimental as hell, and I've said this to Oscar fully earnest.
We're going into
I'm rubbing this back.
Early?
Okay, I'm just saying, I just want to get this out there, just to hop on the Oprah of improv thing.
God.
I would not be doing half the shit I would be doing in comedy, in the live comedy space, if it weren't for Oscar Montoya, because he helped me co-host my first variety show with him, which is called Ethnic Realness.
That's
and we
right.
just did.
We're still doing it.
We're still doing it. We just did a show on Saturday, April 15th. Mm-hmm. It was a blast.
Slade.
It was a gag.
Slade.
Oscar.
So we all have Oscar to thank, really.
We all have Oscar to thank.
Stop it.
How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. It's legendary.
Okay. It's why we came to LA, was to have you on this podcast. I'm not, that's part of the reason.
That's part of the reason.
I'll take it.
We did literally say like, oh, we'll be in LA. We're doing some shows with Pop Roulette at UCB.
Subtle plug.
Well, but they'll be long over by the time this goes on. But yeah, look us up online. But anyway, I was like, and now we can get Oscar on Culturistas,
which was part of the plan all along. We tried to orchestrate this when Oscar was in New York a few months ago.
And not everything is meant to be orchestrated. You know,
that's true.
It wasn't
Sometimes
the time.
It just happens. Sometimes the magic just happens, and we have to allow the magic to happen. Mm-hmm. And the magic is happening right now,
girl.
And that's why they call him the Oprah of improv,
honey. Sometimes though, the magic just doesn't come. Magic wand,
you're telling me, honey.
Wave. Ooh, girl, I need some magic right about now. But you know what,
children,
I need a hero.
I'm holding out for a hero
at the end of the night.
Cuties,
Oscar.
You guys are my children, you know that.
We are your children.
I feel very much like mother love, and just like, you guys are my children.
Feel that way.
And I'm so proud of my children.
You
know what I mean?
Mark.
And I only say children because I'm like twice your age.
Yes, that is true.
You know what I mean?
False.
No, it's true.
It's okay.
Okay, it's okay. It was Oscar's birthday recently.
Oscar is 60.
That's Oscar, right. 60 years old. Oscar, it was...
Clock the mug, honey.
Clock the mug.
I look like in my 30s, but I'm 60 years old.
Oscar, it was your birthday recently. You sent everybody on birthday. A scavenger hunt. It was called hashtag Scavenger Huntoya.
That's
which
right.
is hilarious.
That's right.
Now, I would not do... Now that I'm in my late 20s, I would not dare do a scavenger hunt except if it was for Oscar Montoya. What did you
Why wouldn't you do? You would feel like a child. You would feel like, what am I doing playing the role of a child?
I'd be like, what am I doing? Playing the role of a 19-year-old? Absolutely.
Yeah, God. Yeah. There's a little bit of that, but that's cute.
No,
that's
but like, with Oscar, though, like, it will be a curated experience. Honey, don't...
It was fun. It was really, really fun. All the scavenger hunts was... I mean, like, I rarely indulge in myself. That's not part of what I do.
Right.
That's
no, that's
what
true.
I
that's
do.
True.
Uh-huh. That's crazy
But
to
I
me.
Had two very good friends plan this whole thing. Because it was a surprise. I had no idea they were doing this. Ugh. I had no idea this was happening.
So fun.
So they got a whole bunch of us together and they did a scavenger hunt. And all of these things that we had to do were related to the stuff that I was into. For example, we had to take pictures in front of like haunted houses all throughout Los Angeles. Uh-huh. And you know me and I love my haunted mythology. I do. I do.
Do you love a gag that is a created haunted house, or do you need the real thing?
Oh, I need those real life testimonials, darling.
So you're not the type to roll through an experience that is a haunted house with live actors.
Oh, I can get into it, but mm-hmm. it's like fake. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I'm like, okay, yawn. Okay, these are like
it's
non-union actors just like giving it their all.
Yeah.
Which is, it's fun. It's funny and campy and cute, right? Yeah. But for me, the true gag is going into like paranormal like that's the gag for me. Oh. I like truly love, you know, you've been to my house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say my house is haunted, but it definitely gives the vibe of a haunted house.
Yes.
That house is old. As old as time, I kid you not. It's called my house is old. It has a name, okay? Her name is Myra. Myra. It's the Myra house.
Jesus.
And I live on the second floor. The first floor, my landlord lives there. His name is Stanley. He's a very fun, roly-poly dandy man.
Uh-huh. Come on, Stanley.
Do you know what I mean? He's just so fun.
Sure. And you're saying like an erstwhile actress was murdered there, probably.
I'm saying is that he collects a lot of garbage. Just he's a very big like you know like
the foyer
antique
is
shopper
hilarious
you've seen it
yeah,
right
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just it's got a lot of tchotchkes
sure.
right and I like to think that there's a spirit in each one of those tchotchkes
yes.
do you know what I mean
yeah
I mean I haven't had like a experience yet
uh-huh.
but like I like to think that one day it'll happen
for Oscar invites it because this is my favorite Oscar Montoya story ever one day we were hanging out. And then Oscar was wearing shorts, and then I saw on his leg a new tattoo of a screaming cat face.
Yes.
And I go, Oscar, is that a new tattoo? He goes, yeah. And I was like, well, what is that? And he goes, and just so casually, it was just like, I walked into an antique shop or like an enchantment shop, and I saw a tarot
That's
card
right.
with a screaming cat face on it, and I was like, I have to put that on my body.
Yep,
and
it's
so
true.
I did. And I was like, Oscar, that is a tattoo. But then that really was a tide change for me because I was like, oh, this is just what people with tattoos do. It's like they want a certain image on their body.
Do you
know,
you don't have any, neither of you have tattoos.
No, but it took me the longest time to come around to this idea of it doesn't matter what you put on your body.
Oh, no.
And like, I was with Matt and Austin a few weeks ago and we were walking down the street and I was like, there was just a tattoo parlor and I was like, what if I just got a tattoo here in my
like what like, if entertain
no.
that
entertain
what
that
if?
But you know
what would it be
I said no because for me it's I had to take a different perspective on it and maybe some of the listeners you know in the comments below can tell us how they feel
comment
for
below
me, it's like for me it's like I understand like I get if and anyone can do whatever the fuck they want
yeah, mm-hmm.
for
yeah.
me it's just like I don't think it would make a lot of sense for me and the person I am and who lives up in here, as I
right.
point to my brain,
yeah.
to put something on my body because I would hate it the next day and I would feel like I made a mistake and I would get mm-hmm. real in my head mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a different ideology.
Sure, sure, sure. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. you saying in the moment, like, what if I just got a tattoo? I think was more to posit the question and less because you actually really wanted a
no,
tattoo.
No, but it's, the feeling struck me, like the faintest hint of the desire struck me. I was like, I want a tattoo. I want one now.
I think that's a human thing.
Sure. I mean, yeah.
We've all thought it. We've all entertained that notion.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
What would you get? Gun to your head. What would you get right now if you had to get a tattoo?
Oh my God. Honestly, and this is not just because it's top of mind, the screaming cat face. The same tattoo that Oscar has, which is creepy.
Okay, let's do it.
It's a weird ass answer, but it's like, the fact that image is still stuck with me, like, I think about that.
I love that tattoo so much. Like, I love all of my tattoos. And I have some of the dumbest tattoos in the history
there's
of tattoos.
There's not one that you're like, this one.
Nope. No regrets. Love my it. First ever tattoo, as soon as I turned 18, I went to the tattoo parlor in the fucking West Village in like a rinky-dink, like, who cares tattoo parlor. Uh-huh. And was like, I want a Power Rangers logo on my arm, and it's gigantic, and it's, I mean, like, a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers tattoo. I have that lightning bolt.
I love it
so much. People who see it are like, oh, you love Gatorade, don't you? And I'm like, okay.
This is a hetero.
How many do you have?
Right now, I have 14 tattoes.
Great. Mm-hmm.
And there will be
steadily
more.
Growing.
Yes. I have a question for you, mm-hmm. Oscar. I feel like by default, I will assume that nobody with a tattoo owes anybody else the story behind the tattoo, because it feels maybe a little invasive to be like, what's the meaning behind this? But what's your take on that?
Oh, no, ask away. Like, right. I love that.
But
honestly, most of these tattoos don't even have stories.
Right.
Most of these are just like, I love dinosaurs. Uh-huh. I mean, there's like two themes that are going on in my tattoo story, if you will.
Yeah.
And that is dinosaurs and spooky imagery.
Yes.
Like, I have a decapitated Medusa head mm-hmm. on my leg, like a lot of cats,
yes.
You know, ghosts, mummies, you know what I mean?
Do
I
want to bride a Power Rangers to dinosaurs?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, girl. Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's a clear connect.
Mastodon!
There. That's right. Well, that's on dinosaur, but
Mastodon!
But see, all of this imagery works with Oscar because he has a profound sense of who he is.
Yeah, me that's too. Right. And I'm the person who screams Mastodon when asked to name a dinosaur.
Wait, we have to talk about Oscar and I talked about the Power Rangers movie the other
day. Okay,
the
oh yes, you did see it?
Did you see it?
Yes.
We saw it together.
Okay,
honey,
let's
I had the time of my life.
Thank you. Okay,
here's... And I owe it all to whoever made it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll tell you who I owe it all to. It's Miss Elizabeth Banks,
yes,
darling.
Thank God, yes.
Oscar nominee.
A revelation.
I think Oscar nominee. Oh! when her reaction was just, oh! To the one thing. I don't even think it was how. I think it was just, oh! Like, it was just a guttural, like, she saw what was in front of her, and her reaction was to be like,
she really went in, she got lost in that role. I truly believe there was not an ounce of Elizabeth Banks there at all. It was all Rita Repulsa.
It was all Rita.
I also really dig the mythology that the movie has laid out for us.
Oh, sure.
The fact that, sorry, spoilers ahead.
Do it.
Yeah, spoiler.
The fact that she used to be the Green Ranger.
Love it. I like
it. Oh, Matt's on into it.
Because here's the thing.
Oh, no. Here we go.
It didn't really make sense because that took place like millions and millions of years ago, right? Like,
well, we'd say billions.
Yeah, okay. So how did she have a name like Rita Repulsa?
Okay, fine. It was weird. Everyone had weird alien names. And Tor and Zordon.
Suspend your goddamn disbelief for one second.
What if Rita meant something else in some other...
There you go.
You know, okay, weird sure, alien sure. language.
Look,
you know what I mean?
I overlooked...
Rita Repulsa translates to, like, I don't know, Vivica Monroe.
A Fox. But no.
Vivica Monroe, that's a fierce fucking
Vivica Monroe is a drag name, I think.
That's right.
Vivica Wait. Monroe, season
the,
10.
The funniest... Okay, so I have to say this. There is... I was... recently like sitting in on auditions for teams at UCB and you know, like, people name names all the time and you just forget or whatever, one name that I will stick with me forever and ever and ever is someone, his name is Chase McGowan, he's so funny. He just named himself Veronique Glass.
Veronique,
and I truly gagged, I truly died, I whooped and hollered like a damn fool. It was the funniest thing ever.
Oh my Veronique God. Glass.
Like, we need to have more fun with names.
Yeah,
people.
We do.
Yes.
Let's have fun with names.
I love creating names. I think it's a wonderful opportunity.
Yes.
Seriously.
Do you want to know what my drag name would be?
Oh, please tell me.
Miss Anya Rizm. Anya Rizm.
And she comes
okay,
out.
Now what would
She's
be your
sickening.
Like what
She's
kind of
chronic.
Queen would you be?
I would be the kind of queen who was sickening. but also a comedy like, queen. Like, so I would, can I?
Like, right. Literally sick?
So, honestly, sick. Hold on. I'm going to get up a second because I'm going to do what, okay, when I do drag one day and get on RuPaul's Drag Race,
and you must,
Miss Anya Rhythm always enters the runway like this.
Oh, she had to take her headphones off.
I'm going to, all right.
Here we go.
Okay.
This is real. This is a first.
Yeah, slow, sultry walk.
Oh, she has a horrible headache, and then now she's ready to walk.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
She stomps, she gets a searing pain in her head, mm-hmm. and then she keeps stomping.
That's right.
Fierce. She gets, like, a throbbing migraine, and then she rights herself, and then it's just fierceness down the runway. Yes. And, like, every now and then, like, her head throbs, but I'm a headache queen.
I love it. That's where your power is.
That's where the power is.
Yeah, I think, and I also think, like, she is, like, very much like a fashion, she's like, you know... She's a comedy queen because she's a comedy queen.
Yes,
like she, Matt Rogers.
I love that you said. Okay, I was about to point this out that when we talk about our drag alter egos, which we all do as gay men, we all have a drag queen fetus inside of us, and we just have to nurture it and you know raise it. And my question is, do we say I when we refer to this drag queen alter ego or she? Matt, you just said she, but you also said she referring to yourself. So
to me, words don't mean anything.
There you go.
Like, so I could talk, I could say anything and mean anything.
Sure.
So basically I would,
you're not bound by words.
I'm sure I'm not bound by language.
Yeah.
It's like Bruce
I'm describing
Wayne.
The character right sure, now. Sure, so sure. She as cause I wanted us to picture her exterior.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Okay, so great. I was saying she to paint a portrait of her.
Right.
It's
right.
Bruce Wayne would never refer to Batman as, he would never refer to himself as I, right?
Batman, even though he has said I am Batman.
Okay, but like in a qualitative way.
Like if he was gabbing with the girls, and let's just say Batman was a fop. You know what I mean?
Foppy. Yeah.
And he was having brunch with his Justice League friends. And he was, as Bruce Wayne, everyone is not in costume. This is not a costume sort of themed brunch. This is like, oh, let's be ourselves here.
Right. Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne are hanging out together as Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne.
At Mickey's.
Exactly.
At Mickey's in West Hollywood.
Because you know they're all from LA. Yes. They all brunch in LA. And
the brunch at Mickey's. Ham and eggs,
Batman,
honey.
Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent would be talking about and Superman, she.
Exactly.
Okay, there we go.
And basically, it would be like, if I was Bruce Wayne and Bowen was Clark Kent and he came and sat down and I was waiting for her, I'd be like, she got into it last night with the police, didn't she? Okay, bitch.
And then I would clap back and be like, well, she doesn't have a mansion with a basement and a cave.
Okay, bitch, I ordered you a mimosa, honey. You mimosa, not she. I didn't order her nothing.
Okay,
and stay out of my city.
Well, she better not order me just egg whites.
But why are you fighting right away?
Because we're adversaries, honey. Do? Batman versus Superman. Didn't you see the Ben Affleck flick?
Girl.
No, I didn't see that. Let's skip that. That never happened. I pass on Ben Affleck. I skip Ben
Hard
Affleck.
Hard pass.
Well, we're going to have to see him again in that sequel. You know what I mean?
Oh God. It's a hard no for me on Ben Affleck. He seems miserable
and a bad person.
Like he botched it up in Daredevil and they were still like, let's give him another chance, but not Marvel. Let's see if he flourishes in DC. And he didn't. He did not rise to the occasion.
It's not even him as an actor. I think he's fine. It's just like, I just don't want him to get my money. You know what I mean? He just seems like such a jerk.
Yeah.
I think if you get cast as two superheroes in two different franchises, not even in the same, whatever, you
like
should,
Ryan Reynolds,
like fucking
Ryan Reynolds, Chris Evans. Yeah. I mean, there have been people.
But
do you know
like,
what I mean?
Is there a shortage? Like, they should just like take a sabbatical. If you're Chris Evans, Ryan Reynolds, or Ben Affleck, just take like a decade off. Because honestly, you've made enough money to pay for a fucking generation.
Yeah, you do not need to be another superhero.
Chris Evans actually, once he booked Captain America, he was like, okay, he actually said in an interview, he's like, I'm actually done acting. I'm just going to do this. And he's in the one movie with Jenny Slate that's coming out.
Right.
Yeah. His daughter is very gifted. But I think he just was like, oh, I have the ability to... I think he read the script and was like, I have the ability to get this made because of who I am.
Yeah.
So I want to do it because I like the script.
Right.
But he actually is one that, if you notice, it's not because he doesn't have time because Scarlett Johansson is in all of them too, and she works down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he doesn't do much else besides like smaller passion project-y movies. And I think it's because he said it, he was like,
that's admirable. Is, yeah.
I
mean, that's admirable.
I hear he's actually very cool.
Yeah, that's I'm what sure I hear too. He I hear he's very smart too. But I don't know him, so whatever. But in my mind, I would love to live in a world where every single celebrity gets one shot at playing a superhero. Mm. And if they fuck it up, bye! Wow. You are banished from the Celebrity Center.
My dream. Because they're all Scientologists.
They're all Scientologists.
No, but by all means, come, come, come.
My rule, this was back when the whole fucking Taylor Swift Snapchat, Kim Kardashian Snapchat thing came out. I tweeted out.
Wait, for those not in the know, recap, please.
So Kim Kardashian, so Taylor Swift, back when Life of Pablo came out, which is Kanye West's album, Kanye West had a lyric in a song called Famous that he said, Taylor Swift, I made that bitch famous or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Taylor came out and said, I never agreed. This is horrible. How dare Kanye West to call me that
never
name?
Never asked me for permission for this. That was what it was. It was over permission to use her name and call her a bitch and say, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. And then, it was like objectionable lyrics.
Right. And then so Kim Kardashian went to some press people and was like, well, I actually have video of her confirming this. Mm. And then after a week or so, she finally like released all of them via Snapchat. And it was like the Taylor Swift is over party. So
literally video of Kanye West on the phone with Taylor Swift on speakerphone. You can hear her say that it's okay to
that
use
it's okay.
It.
She's like,
and
yeah,
she's encouraging him.
Yeah.
So it's catching her in an explicit lie for her to
she
play
legit
the victim.
Lied. Okay.
Yeah. So nice. Then, so as soon as that whole thing broke, I was like, this is so stupid. And I tweeted, there should be a rule that once you get famous, you have like 3 years to live and then we just kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just,
I don't
like,
hate that.
That is bold.
I don't hate that. Because after 3 years, 3 years is like when, you know, after 3 years, you start decomposing a little.
Or it should be like, if you're famous for a frivolous thing, and who can be the judge, I guess. But like, I don't know. I was just like, so.
When that all happened, I remember saying like, I honestly wouldn't care if we wiped this slate totally clean and got rid of, not got rid of in terms of they died, but like if none of these people
retired,
yeah,
retire
them all retired. Except Beyonce.
No,
I don't care about
anyone.
Okay,
let me ask you.
Let me ask you a question, Bowen. You are a vicious, heartless monster.
He is a groom.
I mean,
it is gruish in here. He comes in with the gru and lays it down, and it is getting a little gruey in here for my taste. If you ask
Oscar,
me,
would you
better?
Girl, which, with the Gru reference, I cannot. I
oh,
cannot.
No, for Matt, it is not a Despicable Me reference. It is. It's just a name that I can apply to anything.
No affiliation to the Despicable Me franchise.
I'm sure they ripped that out from us.
Absolutely.
Okay, let me ask you guys this.
Yeah.
Which icon, and I'm talking about the icons
which
you save,
we get it.
Okay, are consistently perfect throughout their careers?
Beyonce.
Okay. Okay.
Sandra Oh.
Okay, this is a whole different vibe.
Yep.
This is a whole different vibe.
This is, what is this, apples and oranges here? What's going on?
What are we talking about?
Like, icon. Are you talking about like literal cultural icon? Sandra Oh is not a cultural icon.
Okay, I think our icons.
I see. Okay, so Beyonce, let me think, but Oscar, you go
first. Do you
think
she's...
Here's what I'll say. Beyonce, in a real way...
Mm-hmm.
But in a consistent and fluid way,
mm-hmm.
has been able to truly reinvent herself in a way that was always not only interesting,
mm-hmm.
but also very artistic,
yes.
and progressive. Whereas,
mm-hmm.
you could argue, and I'm not necessarily arguing this.
That Sandra Oh did this.
That Sandra Oh definitely did that movie with Anne Heche after she did Grey's Anatomy.
Shut down.
Anyway, no, but I was going to say, you could argue... in a way that she has never truly slipped up in a way.
Okay.
Like, in a way
I'm gonna play the devil's advocate here and,
okay, sure.
and say that her shelf life maybe isn't as long as the other icons. Really? You know what I mean? She's like, she's one of the newer, she is the newest icon.
Beyonce?
Yes? I would say so.
Beyonce's been a thing for almost 20 years.
20 years.
If you actually think
when
about it,
when did
the
entity of Beyonce come to fruition?
Okay. I remember
saying, Sasha Fierce, that was when she was like, okay, new gay.
Agreed. New gay. And how long ago was that?
Okay, are we talking about when she became an
7 years ago.
Icon? 9 years ago. Or how long she's been doing very influential work? Because that, you could say, dates back to early Destiny's Child.
Like, how early?
And I dated this.
No, 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 part two?
I'm saying, once Say My Name came out, they were here to stay. Oh. And that came out in, like, 1999.
Oh. Oh. You're talking about the writings on the wall, Destiny's
Child. Of course I am. You're talking about
Latavia and Latoya,
not?
Destiny's Child.
Here's the thing. Listen. It's like...
I just want to first correct you. Sasha Fierce came out in 2008, which was 9 years ago. I'm so sorry.
But to say that Beyonce wasn't an icon until
Sasha
Fierce.
Shout out to the fact checkers.
That's what are you saying? What, did you sleep through Crazy in Love?
Sure. I mean, okay, yeah. I'm so sorry.
Don't apologize. Dangerously make your point.
Well, no, I'm not Oscar's being devil's advocate here. I think Beyonce will last for generations, and we're going to see her.
You think she's going to be...
Absolutely. She'll be famous.
You think she's going to out-iconicize Madonna?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Madonna has had so many slip-ups. It's insane. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
Beyonce is never, never.
I just love what you did to your mic, by the way. You grabbed it. So cute.
She's
grabbed it like a little mouse.
She's never going to resort to hijinks.
Okay.
And Madonna is traipsing around here, and she's performing hijinks.
It's a gimmick. Yeah, she's a gimmick queen now.
She's giving you Kissing Britney at the
VMAs.
And Christina, let's not forget, she also kissed Christina. Yeah. Why do we keep forgetting that?
My friend, our friend Colin Cortopassi, years ago texted me one time out of nowhere. Remember when Beyonce was disgusted at Madonna kissing Britney and Christina? Like, it was like, Beyonce's not a true ally because she was homophobic in one moment.
I'll tell you, well, remember her early lyric, I'm not going to compromise my Christianity.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to diss you on it. Whatever it is.
Because my mom would tell
Survivor,
me
better
than
yeah,
on the internet.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, can I answer this question?
Because my mama taught me better.
Because I facetiously gave the answer of Sandra Oh is the most consistent icon, but I guess she's not an icon.
I guess.
I mean... You gotta say, I'm gonna say...
You can't say Gaga.
I'm not gonna say Gaga. I'm gonna say...
Why can't he say Gaga?
Because she's not consistent.
Because it wasn't consistent.
Okay.
It's not amazing.
Right.
Sure, but sure, it's sure. not consistent.
Okay. What was her lowest point?
Art pop.
A lot of people would disagree.
Wow.
You know, I think her outside hijinks around the art pop era.
Her extracurriculars.
Yeah. Her extracurricular activities around the art pop era. Because she came to school with a good project.
I do agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was the fact that she was smoking cigarettes outside that got her in detention. You know what I'm
saying. Oh, girl. And we put her in detention.
That's true.
We certainly did.
We were the ones who put her in detention. Yes,
she hung out with the bad kids like Marina Abramovic, honey.
Yes, honey. But say what you were saying.
Well, I'm really... drawing a blank here, but I want to say, out of all fields, and this is such a boring answer, but I guess
Meryl Streep.
But she's not even. She's had slip-ups too. Fucking Ricky and the Flash.
That's literally what I was gonna say.
That wasn't her fault. That wasn't her fault. That was Diablo Cody's fault.
Okay.
Well,
and God bless Diablo.
Oscar, you give your answer. Who is the icon who will
The most consistent icon?
Yeah.
Girl, the most consistent icon to me is not... It's Minnie Mouse, girl. It's like a cartoon character. Oh,
we just... Okay,
that brand is like brand
the
perfect,
parameters
darling.
Were not set on
okay,
this.
Well, then what? Well, then what?
First of all, I'm pissed
at Minnie Mouse. Daisy Duck, bitch. That's a true icon.
Fuck you.
Shut the fuck up.
Name one thing about Daisy Duck or Minnie Mouse that is like... personal.
Brand, honey.
The brand. Well, they're fucking cartoon characters.
So what?
They're not.
They can't be legendary if they're not. They're not
Minnie Mouse is anti-feminist.
Wow.
Minnie Mouse is the male gaze. It's the male gaze.
How dare you?
And honey, Minnie Mouse and Daisy Duck are not sentient beings who can make decisions about their careers and their creative pursuits.
Okay, no, that's
they
not true.
They exist because Donald and Mickey exist, and that is... the male gaze.
Sad. And yet they've risen above.
Honey, this is
when is her album coming out?
She don't need an album. Walt Disney. She's Minnie Mouse. She doesn't need to come up with an album. She's please. Fine. Walt She's Disney, fine the way she is.
Walt Disney.
She's going to be wearing her polka dot dress, looking cute as fuck. Okay, she's going to wear a bow around her head and be like, I'm snatched for the gods, darling.
Her bow's askew.
Thank you.
Her bow's askew.
Listen, wow, honey. Walt Disney snatched the rib from Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and crafted a female version.
Why do you have to make it religious, girl?
Because,
why'd you have to go
honey,
there? Why'd you have to go there?
Here's the icon who has been consistent is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's right. And you can't say anything That's about Jesus. Not on this weekend,
a
honey.
A true, consistent icon. Jesus of Nazareth.
Christ. H. Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mary. Mother Mary, honey.
Mother Mary, honey. She stayed consistent throughout the years.
Let's look into our religious icons for guidance.
Oh, I
now.
Have one. RuPaul.
RuPaul. But has RuPaul been consistent?
Star booty.
She looked
Star
pretty booty. Rough when she was on
Project Runway.
That one time.
Thank you. Ugh. Oh my gosh. She did look so... She looked like sick, actually. I was like worried.
But you know what,
her.
Though? It's better that she had rough times.
Oh, sure.
RuPaul,
of course.
Because that's why we need
of course.
Ru so badly, is because we know she's seen the dark.
The thing is, with mm-hmm. Beyonce, and you could say this works against her relatability, which I know is not the point of Beyonce, because
yeah.
she is supposed to stand for perfection, but...
Sure.
We haven't seen her slip up, and like, I don't know, it's like...
Even when it would be impossible not to, she hasn't.
I'm just, you know, not that I'm against Beyonce at all, because I'm not. I do think she's sickening. I'm just so tired of her being the go-to answer.
Oh, sure.
Do you know what I mean? I just
yeah.
like, oh,
and also,
God.
Also, but you asked about consistency, and consistency and perfection, I believe, do live in the same
world.
If we're talking about consistently, like, in terms of, like, what they bring, and they always bring that... I think pretty much Rihanna's always been on brand.
Yeah.
She's always giving you messy ass re.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's messy. Yeah,
but people,
she's always...
but people don't feel that as much as they feel Beyonce. Beyonce's just like a universal, yes, this is good.
Sure.
Rihanna's like, this is good, but like,
okay.
You know?
Well, who is consistently inconsistent and like all over the fucking place is Demi Lovato. And you gotta give props, claps to Demi Lovato for never figuring her shit out, but still being fun to listen to.
Wow.
I have to say.
Wow.
I don't think it's okay to come for Demi.
I'm not
Are
coming
you, she,
for her. I'm saying
Bowen
she's
is not
so
coming
fun.
For Demi.
You don't think she's? Do you think she's
it's,
no fun?
It's
you didn't
I,
think
praise.
She is.
It's praise.
I'm saying she's still interesting to watch because it's like, girl, you got to stop announcing your retirement from the industry when you keep coming out with these new albums.
I know. She just doesn't know what she wants,
exactly.
And it's fine, and it's okay. She's human.
You didn't think that her top in the Cool for the Summer music video was not the top of the year?
Yeah, you know what?
I watched that video 3 times in a row and thought I liked girls.
Okay,
like,
I mean. My mental.
Because of Demi?
I was like, do I?
Because of Demi's top, girl.
Fuck Demi?
Oh my
god. Or do I want to fuck her top?
You want to fuck her
I'm
top.
So sorry, I forgot about my mental list of tops of the year. Oscar, we're going to ask you finally the question we ask all of our guests.
But
this question is a big question, and take your time. Okay, Oscar. Am I saying that right, Oscar? This
That's
question
the right,
yes. is what is the culture that you as a young Oscar, I hope I'm saying that right, made you say, I want to step in a cultural direction. What was the culture that defined Oscar Montoya?
That made Oscar Montoya say, culture is for me.
Oscar Montoya, he was like, okay, I'm influenced in this
yes,
moment
yes, yes.
and this will change or alter the course of my
Oscar
life.
Oscar Montoya took in something and said, I think culture is a part of me
mm-hmm.
and I can never imagine living without culture.
Mm-hmm,
is
mm-hmm.
he saying that, Oscar Montoya?
Yeah, can you say that again?
Oscar.
Uh-huh.
Monto.
Okay, that's close
Monto.
Enough.
Monto. Okay.
Monto. I will say that I got, in college, I got a dance award because I was a dancer in college.
Yes.
And
he's a dancer to this day.
Oh, girl, come on. Okay. They gave me a plaque that was like, oh, dancer of the year. They spelled my name Oscar Montoya. And I was
that's
livid.
That's the drag name.
Livid.
Montoya, girl.
I was like, this is not fair.
Ooh.
I worked so hard and they misspelled my name. Anyway, I just want to preface by saying that I, as a human being, only communicate through pop culture. Pop culture is running through my veins as we speak. God. Okay,
this I'm a true vessel.
I am a vessel of media. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I communicate with people. Mm-hmm. When people say, "I didn't grow up with a TV," delete, goodbye,
delete.
Because we just won't talk.
Bless up.
Bless up. People who say, "I don't like music," goodbye forever. How dare you? Are you even a human being?
I don't like music.
You've heard people say that.
I did. There was a crazy kid in my elementary school who said he didn't like music. And then I checked back in with him in high school and he still didn't like music. And I was like, you know what? Forget it.
I mean, what is that? And they're always crazy. All of them.
So you communicate in pop culture.
I do. And I'll tell you why. And I'll tell you why. Because I was not born in America. I'm an immigrant. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was born in Colombia and I was born in a village in Colombia. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, dirt roads, like no tea. I mean, like just like we had, I remember when I was like six, we had a black and white box, huge ass box TV, and it was like my life changed forever. And I would watch Baywatch Nights, not the original but the spin-off Baywatch Nights.
Happened at night.
Obsessed with it because it, like, you know, flirted with paranormal stuff, and I was just like obsessed. That 90s TV show The Renegade, obsessed. These were all shows that my grandma loved watching, so I loved watching. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's the kind of media that I consumed. So then coming here as like a tween, I would say, that's all I want. I was just obsessed with media, culture, TV, you know, movies, music, video games. It was like, you know, and especially American media, just like all about it.
Right.
So, I mean, you want to talk about it? Let's talk about it.
That's exactly why you're here.
Okay, honey, you are a true culturista. Like, look at this. This episode is already a special one. We just went right into it, honey.
Oh, we did. We went right into it even before this got recorded.
And we're plunging even further.
Yes, we are.
Now,
let's Jacques Cousteau the shit out of this.
Jean-Michel. Okay.
James Cameron doing research for the film.
That's right.
Now, I want to know about
this. Of course, that film, The Abyss.
The Abyss.
Keep going.
That everybody saw. Oscar, what got you into dancing? I don't even think I really know this about you.
Oh, dancing. I did it in Colombia. I did something called cumbia, which is like the kind of folkloric dancing of Colombia. And it was like very cute. I have pictures where I'm just like, whatever. And then when I came here, you know, there was no...
You're a cute twirling bitch.
I was twirling, darling. when I moved here, they didn't really have that. So I was like, you know, I found like modern contemporary movement. And I was like, oh, that speaks to me. And then that's something that I've done, you know, until I discovered comedy. And then that all went out the window.
And how did you discover comedy?
A roommate of mine, his name was Chopper. And that's a name I gave him because he wanted people to take him more seriously. So I was like, just change your name.
He wanted people to take him seriously, so gave him the name Chopper.
Absolutely, yes, because you were iconicizing him.
That's right. And Matt gets it. Yeah, Matt Roger gets it.
You can't be born into this world. His name is
Christian Jacobs, which, you know, by all means is a normal sort of okay name. But with a name like Chopper, which he still goes by to this day. Do you know what I mean?
I identify because I was born with the name Matt Rogers, and I have had to fight.
Yeah. And now it's a household name, darling.
I have had to fight.
Yeah. You're a fighter. It's okay.
I have had to fight with this name. Because when you type in the Google search, you see a lot of people.
A lot.
And one of them is an American Idol contestant. And one of them is a horribly offensive comedy singer. And then,
what does that mean, comedy singer?
There's a song called Suck on My, Suck on My, Suck on My Cock.
To the
tune of Jingle Bell Rock.
Let's sing it, guys. Come on, all together.
Suck on my, suck on my, suck on my cock.
No. It's not even suck on my cock. It's suck on my cock. He doesn't even get the rhythm right. And then to tell people that I do musical sketch, that like music is a part of my comedy, and they search and they're like, well, this must be it.
Oh, my God. No, that is not. That's not true to your brand.
Suck on my cock isn't necessarily just the title. It's not necessarily off brand.
No, it's not. It's pretty adjacent.
So it's like, okay, I'm a little confused. Every day I do panic about it.
Okay, so
but anyway, back to you,
Chopper.
Sure.
Comedy.
Chopper. I was roommates with him, and here's the thing: I was performing, but I also had really bad stage fright. And like. Also social anxiety. And my roommate, you know, Chopper was like, you should take an improv class. And I'm like, no, 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 I do not do comedy. I'm not a funny person. No, no, no.
Uh-huh.
I can't, like, there's no, I don't, I didn't know what improv was. Yeah. Like, none of that.
And he's you didn't no, associate fine. As a funny person? You
no, make... never. No, 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 wow. no, no, never, 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 never. That was never part of my gig, ever, wow, ever. Wow, wow, wow. And he was like, no, I think it's good because it'll make you feel comfortable around people. Mm-hmm. And it'll just, like, loosen you up around people. Yeah. And not a lot of comedians are taking these classes. There's, right. like, lawyers and accountants and all that, and right. teachers. And I'm like, okay, great. So I took a class, my first ever class, with the goddess Betsy Stover.
At UCB.
At UCB, and hated it. Oh. Not because of Betsy, she was so great, but because everyone in that class was so thirsty to be on SNL. Yeah, you know yeah, what I mean? Yeah. Like, this is like 101 class. People don't even know how to talk to each other. Right. And they're like, I want to be Will Ferrell, yeah. you know? And I'm just like, I want to, like, just talk to people. Yeah. So, like, freaked me out. It scared me. And then I just kind of stopped doing it because oh. I was like, this is not for me. This is terrifying. Mm-hmm. But the whole time, I was just obsessed with it. Yeah. I couldn't stop thinking about it. Just, like, the intricacies of, like, what improv is, the fact that you're, like, creating something made up, like, there's no script at all. I was just, like, I went to every show. I was just, like, obsessed.
Yeah.
For 2 years. Uh-huh. I didn't do improv, but I watched it all the time. Uh-huh. After 2 years, I was like, what am I doing? Like, I have to go back. Like, I got to do this. I got to do this. So I went to a place called the People's Improv Theater and changed my life. I took one class there with Kevin Scott, and it changed my life. Every single thing made sense to me.
Wow.
And it totally turned my world upside down. I learned how to be more comfortable with myself. I learned how to be more comfortable with myself around people. I wasn't afraid of, like, judgment or anything. I stopped being scared of myself and my voice and started just being myself.
Ugh.
My most comfortable gay brown ass self.
Yes.
And it cultivated this sort of confidence on stage that I never, ever, 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 ever would have thought I had.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
So
and now I do, you know what? Now yes. I do comedy. That's my.
And now you're the Oprah of improv.
Bitch, this is real. Because I, the first time I ever met Oscar was at a show at the Magnet called No Place Like Home.
That's right.
And it was the week of my Story Pirates audition. I was just out of college. I was miserable. Had no fucking idea what I was doing.
Yes.
Got invited to play at the show by Andrew
Fafutakis.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
And saw Oscar on stage and I was like, oh, that guy's so fucking funny. And look at his tattoos and look at his hat. He's so cool. Oh
yeah.
God. And then he came
instant
up,
star.
Instant
when people star. Always oh when God. You see you. You never forget Oscar.
Then,
oh
I did my set and then Oscar came up to me and was like, hey, that was really funny. I'm Oscar. I'm Bowen. What do you do? Like, what's your deal? And I was like, oh, I'm auditioning for Story Pirates tomorrow, and I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm excited. And mm-hmm. you were like, well, great, good luck, whatever, have fun. Said something very encouraging, I'm sure, but I forget. But then after I got on, I remember, like, you were one of the first people to, like, reach out and say, congrats, I'm so excited for you. And from there, this friendship blossomed. But it was because it was like you clock that as an audience member or even as a performer, just being like that person.
Yes.
And to hear to hear you say that you like were this reticent, shy in your shell person before is like crazy.
Oh my God. I remember my very first class. You know, we go around and we talk about ourselves. Mm-hmm. I had such a severe stutter. I could not even say my own name.
I would never know that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Closeted at this time?
No, girl.
Yeah, right. No, I don't know.
Can
bitch.
You contain this, honey? Can you contain it?
We don't know,
no.
girl. We didn't think you had a stutter, bitch.
She said
she had a stutter.
She
said
she proclaimed that she had a stutter. I don't know, bitch.
No, girl, I was out. I was out. I was out at a very early age, okay?
Honey.
I was out. Okay, so this is the real tea. I was out.
4 years old Kumya in the hills. She's 4 years old doing Kumya in the hills, working it out down.
That's right. That's right. The Colombian Sound of Music, honey. Okay.
Yes. The hills are alive with the sounds of Kumya.
Title
of up. The hills are alive with the sounds of Kumya. Okay, cool. Continue. Thanks.
No, but I was in college. I was out. I was telling you, I mean, I was gay. I was a fucking you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was still dating girls.
God.
Because that's just the way I don't know. Because the girl, you know, I don't know how it is for you guys, but the girls are always thirsty for boys. Do you know what I mean? They were always still, they were pursuing me still. And I was like, I'm not going to say no. Mm. So I was dating these girls. I mean, like, I don't know. It's a dark time in my past. We get you know it. What I mean?
The girls were thirsty for me freshman year, and then I think I really settled into who I was, really was sophomore year, and all of a sudden I just didn't get interest anymore.
Isn't that interesting how sometimes no one is interested in
Bowen, shut up.
Oh my god, no, I'm just kidding.
Did you ever have a girlfriend, Bowen?
No, never.
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 Who was your first kiss?
Had girls. First kiss was. No, I don't want to say this.
Come on, say it.
Come on, you must.
No, I can't.
Come on. No. Inquiring minds want to know, okay?
My first kiss was this girl named Laura Knobloch. And she was very, but it was just a kind of a, it was like a half joke. Oh my god, you guys. In middle school, this is all coming back to me.
These, like Celine Dion.
These kids at my lunch table, who I thought were my friends, this is like the third traumatic school story I've shared on this podcast, but just throughout the episodes, but these kids at my lunch table knew I had such a huge crush on this girl, Beth West. And so they,
why? Why did you have a crush on her?
She was just so, I mean, like part of it was that she was athletic and a little bit like
butch.
Yeah, okay. I 100%.
Okay.
But with you, sister.
But anyway, she was like this half Asian beauty. She was like also like just like a beautiful person.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so funny. And we like sat at the lunch table together every day and like thought they were my friends. And then the entire lunch table decided to be fun. To pay Beth.
Oh shit.
To ask me out and date me for like a week.
Girl, that is a similar tale.
What?
To mine.
Tell me. Spill.
Oh my god. Junior high school, 8th grade, I had this girl, Vanessa. I don't know what the fuck her name was. She had
We'll call
big
her Vanessa Vanessa.
Vanessa
Vanessa yeah. Monroe.
Vanessa Monroe, that's right. Vanessa Monroe. She was like a very, let's say, developed girl.
Mm-hmm.
Her boobs were gigantic. I mean like novelty size boobs.
Oh, we're talking titters about. Down. Okay.
Titters down, down, honey. Titters down. Titters the house down. And she asked me out, and I was like, yeah, of course.
Oh, no.
Sure. We dated for 3 days, and this other girl, Elizabeth Solero, who I actually had a crush on because she like didn't give a shit about anything, and her favorite movie was Empire Records, and at the time, I was just like, yes, she gets me. she came up to me. She's like, you know it's a joke, right?
Oh.
It's a dare. Vanessa dated you because they dared her to date
God
you.
God damn it.
But yes, not to co-opt this story
no,
from
no,
you
please.
Or this
I'm
experience,
glad you are.
But like we share a common bond. But.
That like what a monstrous thing to do. Kids are
kids
demons.
Kids are the worst. They really are.
So when you started succeeding in improv in terms of like the way you felt you were personally succeeding
okay.
as a person,
mm-hmm.
so then you dove back into classes. Yes, fair to say?
Yes.
And then yeah. Talk about like the rise of you like
of Oscar.
Well, I like because you really did become someone everyone knew.
Bitch,
own it.
I don't know.
Yes,
I don't know. I don't know. I can't. I can't answer that.
Well,
I
can
know.
Say that you did. So
okay.
Was it? Do you think that it was just because they did? And do you think that it was? I just turned the mic and it went. Anyway, do you think it was because you were emanating a confidence and a positivity? And can you speak
to
that?
I think that's what it is.
Yes.
You know what? Here's the thing, too. When I was starting to do comedy, like 50 years ago, I started a long time ago, there was no one like me. So
yes.
I mm-hmm, thought mm-hmm. my
yes.
sort of comedy is not valid.
Mm.
The things that I see on stage are the only things that are funny with a capital F, right? To me, that's not the way that I spoke or
yes.
communicated. So
yes.
that meant like if this is true, then what? Like then I am not funny,
right? Message,
do you know what I mean?
Message received.
Message received,
yeah.
right? Like we saw the same kind of people,
mm-hmm.
and you know what kind of people I'm talking about
yes,
on that
do.
Stage, talking the same language, speaking the exact same way, and having everyone just laugh uproariously when I would just be like, I do not get this.
Uh huh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I was like, oh. I am not valid. I don't exist in this world, and that's fine. I'm gonna find something else. You know what I mean? But when the moment where I was like, okay, was when I saw people like Jeff Hiller,
mm-hmm. Jeff,
pray, King.
Bless up,
someone named Jess Allen from the People's Improv Theater.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? Like true
individuals,
visionary, like. Literally stand out. They really do like stand out, like because their humor is so different.
Yeah. Yes,
that you're like, wait a second, they're freaks, they're weirdos, just like me.
Oh, but they
and
own
I
it.
Understand this. Do you know what I mean?
Preach.
I've seen people like that make moves where no one laughs. except for me. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Still, but you know what? They're up there.
And it's valid.
Yes.
And it counts.
We got to get deep into this and we got to take a break.
Yes.
So okay. We're going to come back right back because this is the tea.
This is the tea.
This is the true tea.
I love this.
This is amazing.
Okay.
And we're going to be right back with Oscar Montoya.
This is the E! True Hollywood Story.
E! True Hollywood Story. Okay. Of, am I saying this right? Oscar Montoya?
We'll be right back. Now listen up, Ho. We've got today
a little bit of an offer.
For you, the listeners of Las Culturistas, Casper is offering $50 towards any mattress purchase at Casper.com. You know what, Matt? Listen up.
Mm-hmm.
The Casper mattress is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price.
Was shocked when I heard.
Zap, coulombs, ow.
Ooh, pizzazz.
Pizzazz. It's got just the right sink, just the right bounce, and it's made up of two technologies, latex foam and memory foam. Mm. Latex memories, baby, that come together for a life well slept.
Latex memories. I got many of those.
Oh, I have those too, and I can't wait to use my Casper mattress to make more. The Casper mattress is now the most awarded mattress of the decade. So what are you waiting for? Go get one to receive $50 towards any mattress purchase. Go to CasperTrial.com/Las Culturistas.
You should say that again. I think they might have tuned out.
They might have tuned out, honey. And listen, Casper.com is nailing the user experience online. They've got the Casper sheets and the Casper pillow so you can get the full Casper sleep experience,
the whole
honey.
Experience from every angle.
And look, they're nailing it on the web and they're nailing it in real life. Again, that's CasperTrial.com/Las Culturistas for $50 towards any mattress purchase.
Oh, did you think that was all?
Mm.
It wasn't. Okay, we're also sponsored by Warby Parker. Warby Parker is offering Las Culturistas listeners, that's you, don't look around for someone else, that's you, bitch, a free 5-day home try-on to give you the opportunity to check out their glasses. And when you get the opportunity, Bo, you got to take an opportunity.
You have to take the opportunity.
Okay, you miss all the shots you don't take.
Mm.
Now, Warby Parker makes buying glasses online easy and risk-free. Their home try-on program allows customers to order 5 pairs of glasses to be shipped directly to them. Okay, not your friend, not your mom.
No.
No, you don't have to hit your cutoff man here.
No.
That's a baseball analogy. It's coming directly to you.
Hey.
All right? And you can try them on in the comfort of your own home. You get your feedback from friends, family, colleagues, whoever you want. Users can keep the frames for 5 days before sending them back for free using the prepaid returning shipping label. So you're going to want to clock those receipts.
Clock them.
With no obligation to purchase. You're not even obligated. Okay? So to get your home try-on today, you go to warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas. Now, I'm going to say that again.
Say it again for the people who tuned out. I don't think so, honey. People who are tuning out during the mid-roll.
Yeah, I don't think so, honey. I'm going to say it one more time. Again, that's warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas for your free 5-day home try-on. It's a great deal.
It's a great deal. Now, come on, bitch.
And we are back with super guest Oscar Montoya.
Super guest.
Now, we were getting into it a little before we took a break about, you know, just how...
I hate to interrupt,
yeah.
But it's been, what, like 45, an hour?
Uh-huh.
And Matt has not touched his muffin, his pina colada muffin.
Pina colada muffin.
It's still sort of just there. And it's shocking to me how...
I ate some of the muffin on the break. I didn't want to have my mouth full and be quote-unquote masticating, which is a Bo and Yang-ass vocabulary word if I ever heard one SAT.
It's perfect. A real word, Matt. I don't know why you're putting it in quotes.
Honey, please. It's disgusting the way he uses these big
Matt
words.
Rogers is literally slapping the face of Latin American culture by not eating this pina colada muffin.
How is that so?
Because we went to a coffee shop around the corner that producer Brett and Amy recommended called Tierra Mia. It was gorgeous.
Tierra Mia.
I literally, as I've been eating it and I've been savoring it,
mm-hmm.
Use that on the SATs. Savor. S-A-V-O-R.
Okay. S-A-T word.
Yep.
I've been thinking to myself, what a gag this muffin is.
Okay, well then, honey, let's all try some.
Okay, let's all try
Go
some.
Ahead,
do you mind?
I don't mind at all.
Okay.
And also, I mean, I'm loving the strawberry lemonade tea. Do I think I ordered too big of a size? Yeah,
I think so.
You know what? I'm having a hard time tasting the pineapple.
I taste the coconut.
I taste the coconut.
What the heck, man?
It's good. What?
I love the muffin.
I'm not saying that I don't love the muffin. I'm just saying if it's a pina colada muffin, where's the pineapple?
Where's the pineapple? But no, Oscar clocked Matt earlier for not loving the muffin enough and for not touching
it. You didn't eat the muffin top. The muffin top had a lot of good pina colada flavor.
Okay.
Okay.
I was shocked when we walked into the shop and it had said pina colada. I was like,
yeah, you were like, I must.
I was like, I have to order that.
You must. Matt lit up and he said, I have to. Yeah.
I actually can't be at a restaurant without ordering a pina colada if they offer it.
Is that your that's your drink of choice?
That's my jam.
Mm-hmm. Pina colada over Bloody Mary?
Uh-oh.
See, I know Matt
here's
so
the
well.
Thing, here's the thing about Bloody Mary, though.
It's a meal.
This is a good sun moment, okay? Which one are you going to drop off a cliff? The pina colada or the Bloody Mary?
Commonly, when you go into a restaurant and you ask for a Bloody Mary, they can act like, they act as if you're giving them a hard time. Mm-hmm. Whereas a pina colada very commonly will come from a machine, ready made, yes, with the liquor already in it, or it's just not a big deal to put the liquor in the glass. I very rarely see people have to like put shit in the blender and actually make a pina colada anymore. Mm-hmm. Places that serve pina coladas have them ready to go. Whereas a Bloody Mary, you kind of have to put that together.
Yeah.
You can have the mix in a thing, but you still got to put the alcohol in, and you know, you have to garnish, and it's a yeah. whole, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a whole adventure land.
Right.
So what I'm saying to this question is I would always rather have a Bloody Mary no matter where I am. Mm-hmm. However, this is a difficult question because I'm sometimes, as someone that's in the industry,
right, you get
restaurants,
it. You get it.
I don't want to fuck with them.
Yes. Okay.
And also, I don't ever want to deal with, you know, being the person that's that person at the restaurant.
Sure.
I never, mm-hmm, ever want to be the person that's keeping the waiter standing there, which I said to you yesterday.
You read me yesterday. You read me for Phil.
Because not for nothing, but that was a frustrating situation.
Girl, but you don't understand. There is anxiety there when I have to order because I truly don't know. I paralyze when there's too many choices.
I understand.
And at a diner, it's like that is where I am tested. Okay, because it's too many. Like, just tell me what to eat and I will eat it as long as there's no onions or peppers because I hate eating those things.
You know what? I have a feeling I'm going to talk about this in a little while. That's all I'll say. That's all I'll say about that.
Okay. Let's put a pin on
this
that and let's move on.
This whole episode took a turn, honey.
I was about to like literally exalt at the feet of Oprah Improv, which is OI, which is the opposite of IO. But then he had stopped me and disrespected me about my muffin eating on my own show.
He has disrespected.
He has disrespected at the hands and feet of the host.
I will not apologize.
As a co-host,
that be fuel
here's
to
the
fire.
We are co-hosts, and as a co-host, how do you feel that he just turned and disrespected?
He did not disrespect. I can acknowledge
he put you in a tough place.
He's putting me in a very he's
Bowen Matt put you in
me.
A tough place.
Matt could my co-host could be disrespecting me, but Oscar,
you
came for Oscar and with his behavior at the diner yesterday.
You came for me,
but Oscar had to defend
you came
himself.
For me.
Had to defend himself, and you for you to feel disrespected at a rightful retort is disrespectful.
There's no excuse for your behavior yesterday, and also I'm going to call her out, Rachel Chapman. That giggling and laughing was out of control. And I was right on the brink. There was no reason for her to be laughing like that.
I understand that it's part of Rachel Chapman.
That's just part of her brand,
though. The waiter turned to her and said, "Are you ready?" And she laughed. And it was inexcusable.
But damn, girl, you like John Malkovich the shit out of that. You like went into the body of that waiter. And like you're like living his story right now.
I live his story every Saturday. I live his entire story.
Yeah. Walk us
who
through.
Who lives,
yeah.
Who dies, who tells their story?
Oh,
if it has to be
no.
me.
Oh, okay, okay.
If it has
okay.
to be me, it will be me. If the end of my life is telling the story of a server, that is my cross to bear.
A story like mine
has never been told.
Oh, boy. There's a story behind that fucking quote.
Which we cannot share.
Which we cannot. Why? Why can't we?
I mean, we could. Should we?
I just want to say, this short story, the short version of the story is Matt and I and David Mazzoni, previous guest of the pod, friend
was
of the
David,
pod.
He was there. And John Sokolow was there.
And John Sokolow, we just did a show in Chicago with Pop Roulette.
Years ago. This
years
is four,
ago.
Like 3 or 4 years ago.
A long time ago. And then we went to Berlin, famous Chicago gay nightclub. And David and Matt had sort of paired off with these two strangers. Mm-hmm. And Matt has this whole fucking journey with the guy that he was with. But basically, I went back alone to the place we were staying at, John's place. And Matt and I were sharing a bed, but that night I just had it to myself. I was like, great. And then at 4 in the fucking morning,
that's late,
I wake up to Matt crawling over me wasted. And then he leans down and whispers into my ear, "A story like mine has never been told."
I did not do it in the accent.
And I pushed him off me and screamed bloody murder because it was revolting.
Let's just say it's a miracle I'm not dead. It's a miracle I'm not dead. It was like an episode of Girls.
Wow.
But like, probably if Lena Dunham wrote this episode for her character and passed it into HBO, they'd be like, nah, this didn't happen.
Wow. Anyway, how do we get into this? A story like my name is never been told to servers. I want to keep exalting at the feet of Oscar Montoya. Montoya.
Ooh, that, oh.
Montoya.
Yes, yes.
Listen, right. I think there's so much to this idea of like when you're having fun that they're having fun. And yeah. I finally learned that, like, I think Amy Poehler said it. And that's when it was like super clear to me. But it was becoming very clear to me when there was people in my life, honestly, Oscar, like you, like Josh and Aaron, you know, people that I really looked up to that were succeeding. And all of a sudden it just clicked to me. It was like, oh, wow. Yeah. Like, you can't give a fuck. You just have to do you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be what it's all about.
Here's the thing, too. We respect individual voices. Mm-hmm. It's not even about like liking or disliking. We respect the voices that we know are true to them.
I'm sure there are plenty of people who don't necessarily like what I do, or Matt or Oscar do, and that's fine. But like, hopefully there is that base level of at least respect with like staying true to something about us. I don't know.
You actually really influenced me as a director when you said one time,
"Oh my god, like, I remember this."
You were like, "You're gonna come over here, and then what you're gonna do is fill your fantasy." And I was like, my god. And something happened where I was like, I'm just gonna literally create my fantasy.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, if I think it's funny and I look confident doing it, like that's your fantasy. It's about creating an experience. It's about creating the fun.
Mm-hmm. But your fun. You know what I mean? Like feel your fantasy.
And it feels like real and authentic. And it's good to even say that out loud. It's really good to even say that out loud and remind yourself you have to feel your fantasy. And I give that note a lot when I'm directing.
Girl, because that's the note.
I tell the young pirates.
Because that's the note.
And does it work?
That is the note. It works for the people that are going to get it and people that are ready to hear it.
Yes. Because some people don't even know what their fantasy is, but that's part of the journey.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like solidifying that fantasy and just living in it.
You know who feels their fantasy too and lives in their fantasy, which we have to get on, is Mike Kelton.
Mike Kelton.
Mike Kelton feels his fantasy all the time.
Oh my God.
I love it. It's
and
so
he
fun.
Actually, when I started to do, I did a character one time at, I think it was Ethnic Realness.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this character and he was there. Maybe he was also doing the show. And I got off and he came over to me and he was, all he said was, he would never remember this. But he was like, I just want you to know it's working. It's working. Keep doing it.
Kelton.
He's like, keep doing it. It's working. And that meant so much to me because I was like, yeah, I mean, this person is someone who is unapologetically themselves.
Oh,
yeah,
for sure.
And it's so working. True. And so the fact that he told me that, I was like, oh, thank God.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
But it's like that. And then to see like your like big sisters doing that, like that's very encouraging.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, we've been seeing the people who don't live that way, who like will project this identity and then just like play to that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it just reads as artificial, as not true. Yeah, and it feels like work. And the last thing I want to see someone on stage doing is working. I don't want to see people working on stage.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
Wow.
I need to see people living their lives on stage. That's all. That's all I want to see. It's not about funny. It's not about clever. It's not about smart. It really is all about watching people have the most fun on that stage for as long as they can and just being swept up in their fantasy.
Oh my God. The truth.
Do you know what I mean? That's
you
literally
have to feel your fantasy is part one. Part two, gag yourself.
Yes.
Be your own gag.
Rule number one of culture. Feel your fantasy.
Rule number two of culture.
Gag yourself. Be your own gag. That's it.
This is when the inevitable book comes out, right?
There will be a book. There'll be a pamphlet, honey.
There's a pamphlet.
We're going to be the first people to successfully sell a pamphlet.
That's right. This will be the this is
selling
since,
culture
since Thomas Paine.
Since common sense.
Since common sense.
That's oh right. Oh my God. Yes. Aim for the stars, Bowen.
Honey.
Aim for the
we're
stars.
We're going to start a revolution.
Yes.
I just feel like that there's so much to that. Now, yeah. Switching gears.
Okay. That fast.
Last night, and this is literally filling your fantasy. Last night, we did an escape the room.
Oh, yes.
An escape.
An escape extravaganza.
An escape the room. Have you ever done an escape
room? I have done. I've done a couple of escape the rooms.
And honey,
to mixed reviews.
To mixed reviews. This is what we were. This is what.
This is your first one?
First one ever for me.
Wow.
First one. This is like my fourth one.
Okay.
But once, as soon as we told Oscar what we did last night, we were very enthusiastically to him. We said, we did an escape the room last night. It was so fun. We should do one this week. Oscar.
Mm-mm, don't do it.
Raised his brow don't and said, do it. I don't know about that.
Don't do that.
Tell us, what's the tea?
What do you mean, what's the tea?
What's the shade?
It's not about the shade. It's not about the escape the room. It really isn't. It's about the people in escape the room because it can be the best experience and also the most taxing journey you'll ever have.
People's true selves are
because it is about how you play this. Yes. It's about how you play the escape the room. Do you play the escape the room to literally escape the room, or do you play escape the room to just kiki with your friends? I kiki with my friends.
Yes.
And some people who play to escape the room do not appreciate the way I play. And so then, you know, riffs happen.
So what are you saying? You would deliberately sabotage?
I don't know, girl. Don't read me like that.
But girl, I'm not reading you. I'm just saying, like, when you say that you play different, how is there else to play different besides not trying to win?
No, it's just like getting caught up in like the detail. For me, it's like, you know, there's like things to look at. I'm gagging in that world. I'm like submerged in that world.
Same.
So I get lost. I'm like, ooh, look at this little thing. Oh my gosh. And they're like, Oscar, pay attention. And I'm just like, okay, in a minute. But right now I'm really looking at these decorative tiki cups. You know what I mean?
You like, can do both if you, because well, I feel like last night was both. Because we were with a couple people that were like legit going for it. Meanwhile, they said over the speakers, like, hey guys, if you find 5 eggs, you win a free game. So I was like, amazing. You guys do the puzzle. I'll look for the eggs.
That's how I play. That's me. And also there's a part of me too, like something about like just games or any sort of competitive thing does bring out a thing that was dormant in a lot of my friends, you know? And you're just like, oh, I didn't know you this way.
Right.
And then they turn into like little monsters, you know? And I'm just like, whoa.
Bowen snapped at me 3 times during the game.
I feel like I did not snap at you.
Matt, you know what, not to push you under the bus,
this
but
is
Bowen,
a lie.
I feel like this will be your Frankenstein monster moment. Like, I feel like you would turn into a beast in these escape the rooms.
In my defense, let me just say, last night I really felt like I struck the proper balance between having fun with my friends and just doing it for the sake of doing it and having fun in this teamwork exercise and working towards the goal of leaving the room. Now, I am shocked at this allegation that I snapped at Matt. There was no such thing happened. Matt, how dare you?
When I was turning the key...
Oh my God.
And we've been through it with keys this week. Because earlier in the week, Bowen, I had the keys and was opening the door.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, wrong key, buddy.
No.
Well, and buddy, I said, and
I have never heard you say the word buddy.
He
Bowen.
Called me buddy. And I said to him, and I quote, don't call me buddy, you condescending bitch.
I have never heard you say buddy ever.
Just think about that fucking quote. I just very nicely was like, hey, wrong key, buddy.
No, goes, he didn't.
And then, I know
and
that
then
he did.
And then Matt says, Matt's pretty hammered at this point. He goes, don't call me buddy, you condescending bitch.
And here's the thing. We both meant every word that we said, and then it was fine 2 seconds later. But in that moment, I was like, how fucking dare you?
Okay, but at an escape room, when did I ever snap at you?
There were a couple times where you were just getting on edge.
And no!
It wasn't about me, but I could tell that it didn't help that it was me. Because other people that were in the room, I don't think you would have been comfortable being like, no, this.
And it was you.
But because it was me, you felt comfortable, which is fine. You felt comfortable being like, Matt, no, do it that way. And I was like, okay.
Wow, this is all about airing laundry between the two of you, huh?
Dirty laundry.
I'm not.
Dirty laundry.
Listen, I'm not like, I'm not letting this stick to me, but like, it didn't really happen like that. I don't know.
What was your version of the event?
You were futzing around with the keys. we had limited time left. I go, Matt, it's not that one. Other set.
futzing around with the keys. That's tricky vocabulary, Bowen.
It's no, and literally, it didn't bother me because I was doing the wrong key. So I needed to be told. And there was one moment where, I don't know, I don't remember the specifics, but like, anyway, it did happen a couple of times where I was like, it doesn't matter to me at all, but like, did I clock that it was like definitely Bowen's voice? I was like, okay, cool. He's, you know, getting a little bit on edge with me.
Okay, but I will.
Okay,
it was my first time.
See, this is a lot of stress. A lot of stress that we don't need.
I'm not stressed. I'm only blessed.
I'm not stressed.
I'm only blessed.
Bless up. Look, Oscar, I agree with you, but also there are some people out there in the third category who are just a hybrid of both, and I put myself in that bucket.
Okay, great. That's
I think the three of us would slay.
Three of us
I think
would
so
slay.
Too. Yes. How many people were in that room with you?
Eight. It was too many.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
But we still made it out.
Still made it out.
We should say make it out.
Okay,
we had 75 minutes to make it out. We made it out in 67.
It was the hardest room in the entire
What was the
company.
Theme?
It was okay, so it was great.
And wait, what's the place? Let's plug it.
I think it's called 60 Escape or something, 60 Room or something like that. It's on.
Okay, very vague plague.
It's on Santa Monica Boulevard. And yeah, that's it. So anyway.
There's one called Grandma's House.
That was Grandma's House. So you go in, it's this really nice, quaint, funny little grandma's kitchen, living room situation. And Grandma's left you a letter. She says, I'm so sorry, I can't see you, but after your grandfather Cecil died, I've been working on
a project
on my last project, but blah 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 blah,
and I can't come back to the house. So can you help me hang the pictures? And that's when it starts.
Okay. And then you find out.
Reveal too much.
I don't want to reveal too much, but as you go,
you took this. This is the room that you went
this
to.
This is the room we were in last night. But then as you, there's multiple rooms that you work through, and then a storyline unfolds that ends in a robbery of some sort, and it's very exciting.
And they played the music while it was happening to make you feel like you were in a movie.
Oh, I
love
that's my favorite part.
Yeah, and music. Honestly, that's I think what the gag was. It was like the Disney little boy in me was like that wants to feel that fantasy, and I felt very involved.
Oh, for sure. Oh, it's like you're plugged into a movie at that moment, and the stakes are fucking high.
Yes, and so now. We're kind of trying to find... We want to do another one while we're here, and we're trying to figure out whether to do a scary one or not.
Yes. Answer is yes.
Our friend Colin sent us a listing for one called The Basement, where it's literally like, a fucking serial killer has bound and gagged you, and he's thrown you in his basement. Mm-hmm. Oh, and also he's a cannibal. Work your way out. And it's like, oh, shit, but like maybe that's something that's happened to people. Like, I don't know.
But it's fun. I went to one.
Live actors.
I love that.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think we should do it. I think we should all do it.
Yeah. I think
Pop Roulette's going to be here soon in LA and we're going
to
do it.
There was one that I went to where it was like mental asylum. And I think it was just called Asylum. And it was like everyone had to get out of the room. But they were like, okay, one of you has to be locked into a straitjacket. So while they're doing, the puzzles, you have to also, and I volunteered. I was like, me, please.
Oh, great.
Because, you know, I am very like distracted by everything. So I was like, oh, this is a fun way to give me like a task.
Yeah.
I'm very like good if you tell me what to do.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
So I was like, okay, let me get in there. I got in the straitjacket. And I was like, great. So no one's going to be mad at me if I don't do the work. Because I'm busy. Right. I could always be like, the straitjacket. Girl, I got out of that straitjacket in like 2 seconds.
Because you couldn't handle
it? I just moved my arms around. That's it. No, it was like the easiest part. They locked it, but like the way a straitjacket is, like you can literally just raise your arms and then you're...
Yes.
And then like sort of just like step out of the straitjacket without unlocking the lock.
Wow.
So then I was just like, oh, okay, here we go. But you know, whatever. That was really fun.
And so you were not gagged for that one?
There were moments, peaks and valleys.
You're saying it's all about the people.
It's all about the people.
But premises matter too, because there's apparently one that's an old failed record studio.
But sometimes premises will disappoint you.
Sure.
Sometimes it's just like, ooh, the setup is perfect. And then it like if it ends in a big fart, you're
like
just
in like comedy.
Sure.
I mean, you can ruin a premise.
That's the tea. That's truly the tea.
And if it ends in a fart, that's how you know it sucks.
Yep. And then that's when the edit comes and you're just like, I'm so sorry.
Right. But what Oscar was saying about the people being like, either they are very goal oriented to a fault or they just want to have fun and kiki with their friends applies to stage. Applies to the stage.
Oh, for sure. Man, it was such a... now I'm thinking, looking back, it's like, was it a really good experience? Because honestly, the eight of us that were in there, like a couple of us knew each other really well, but like mm-hmm. there was people in the group that I don't know very well. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that put the focus on the task instead of this person's going to be this kind of person yep. in there. And I know I'm going to butt heads with them. Mm-hmm. But so that's interesting.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Like, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like if we went with our close friends, mm-hmm. the personalities would emerge.
Oh, for
and we
sure.
all know the dynamics. Mm-hmm. So it's like you would see that play out.
Our friend Click is filled with strong personalities.
Yeah. 100p. You know what I mean? 100p.
There's no one with a passive personality, you know?
Well, that yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, but the thing is, I'm kind of surprised. Maybe it was my first, is because it's my first mm-hmm. time. But thinking about like how your true colors come out in the Escape the Room, I kind of surprised myself last night because I really was letting other people do everything.
You thought you were going to be more...
It's not about letting. It's more about like other people were doing something and I was kind of like very much not jumping ahead. Like
yeah.
I was the kind of person where when a door would open, I'd be the one to run to the door and say, it opened.
Yeah, great. Okay, so let's think about it this way. In these Escape the Rooms, like the music is playing, you know what I mean? You feel like you're in a movie, right? Mm-hmm. And like, it is like a movie. And with that being said, like what character would you play in this movie in an Escape the Room sort of situation?
First victim, Drew Barrymore.
Really?
That's me. That's my goal.
That's interesting. That's a gag because I would say that you'd be like, okay, guys, focus up. Let's think of a plan. Yep. I feel like you'd be very much that person.
Well, you know what? Maybe here's the thing. I take back my answer. I think mm-hmm. I'm very much a director.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I guess like I would be the kind of person that like if I felt like something was going askew, I would mm-hmm. be like, can we just focus back up for a second mm-hmm. because we need to do this? Mm-hmm. Like I feel like if I were.
You'd corral everybody.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that I would necessarily be the one figuring out what to do.
Yes,
yeah. But I feel like in terms of keeping people on task, mm-hmm. that is my personality. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I do make decisions.
Right.
But that's not, I mean, that's just in my ordinary life. I don't know. Escape the Room is different.
What about you, Oscar?
I feel like I'd be the person who wouldn't say a single thing mm-hmm. until everyone is stumped. And then I would say something.
Okay.
And that's when I would activate. Do you know what I mean? I'd be that kind of player. I mean, that's the kind of player I am in these sort of Escape the Room things.
Uh-huh.
When too many people are talking, I'm just like, okay, that literally too many cooks in the kitchen.
Ooh, yeah,
I will not participate until people are just like, we don't know what to do. Then I'm like, okay, now I'm of use.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, what about you, Bone?
I'm a thirsty little fuck for attention.
Mm.
I'm just trying to think, like, okay, how would I behave in an improv group game?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in group games, I'm always like, no, I have the best fucking zinger, and which is real. And, like, back when I used to do improv, and I feel like that behavior...
Well, you do have the best singers, though.
No. That's not the point. I want... But part of me... The way I behaved last night was very, like, I'm going to pour over the small details that just for clues. I'm going to help... I'm going to be that tech support, in a way. I was like... There was like in the grandma room, like there was just a bunch of cookbooks, and I just like flipped through every page just to see if there was something.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you guys figure that stupid puzzle out while I figure out like if there's anything mm-hmm. in here that we can gather.
He's
like,
very detail oriented.
I was just like researchy.
Yeah.
In that research mode, that's not a behavior necessarily.
No, it is, and it's very helpful in that situation. And you actually did. You actually were very hands on and detail oriented, and like you were getting the minutia in.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, I think my personality is more. Big decisions and choices mm-hmm. and then the group kind of goes and does that thing, but I'm very rarely the person that's in the trenches figuring it out. Like for example, like I'm the quote-unquote director of mm-hmm. Papa Roulette, but like in terms of what makes the group like in terms of the specifics, what makes the group shine, like mm-hmm. everyone else has like more specific tasks
than I do. Yeah. You think big picture,
I mean?
You think
very much
details.
So.
Details. Yeah, that's great. This is a good combination, the two of you. Maybe you both should do Escape Room together and like see how you fare.
Could we do a two-person one?
Maybe there are some
two-person ones. Yeah. People do it by themselves.
Oh, God.
There are people who go in by themselves.
That's bold.
That I don't think would be very fun.
No. Our producer Brett's laughing because he just thinks it's sad as hell.
I don't know. I'm obsessed. I'm the kind of person that gets really obsessed with this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like you know.
Well, for you, because what Colin, our friend Colin, said about you is that this was very Orlando. It was very immersive.
It was
like taking you through this linear progression And with it, you know, and I think it is. It's like a little taste of the theme parks.
I love anything where before you do it, they sit you down to watch a video.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I love that shit.
Me too. Like, I'm all about that.
She
I'm
goes
all about it.
The girl who was such a gag, the girl that was yes. running it, she was amazing. And she was like, okay, well, first we're going to sit down and watch a brief video. And I was like, yes. I was just so happy.
Yeah. Full gag.
And she was... It's amazing because I think that they do have a hand in setting them up, right?
Yeah, she was. I asked her, I was like, how long does it take for you to reset that? Because it was a mess by the end. We were
done. Yeah, it was crazy. Lots of props.
Lots of props and lots of like papers strewn everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how long does it take for you to reset this? And she was like, oh, I could do this. And this is like a 4-room maze, mind you. She's like, I could do this in about 5 minutes. And I was like,
wow.
Gag.
Yeah.
But think about it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's really just like this goes here, this goes here, this goes here.
Yeah, totally. Right. Totally.
But if you mess one thing up,
but if
you,
something
you
is missing, the, it's yeah. like, yeah. well.
And
totally.
She said at one point she had to come over the last speaker and she was like, are you guys missing this object? And we were like, yeah. And she goes, oh, right here. And I think it was something was supposed to pop out more than it did.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
But they're usually very good. Usually throughout the whole thing, it was like a sound effect would accompany us accomplishing a task.
Oh, that's cute.
Very Zelda.
I loved it.
That's very
it.
Cute.
I loved it. Yeah. And now talking about it, I really want to do one again.
We'll do it. We'll do it. And Oscar.
Do a scary one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what you're gag.
I don't know. The live actress thing, it's like, I know it'll either make it great or it'll be
Have you
cheesy.
Never been to a haunted house?
I have, but like ones where it's like someone, all they're doing is chasing you with a machete. And it's like, okay, well, what perform? I mean, it's a performance, sure, but it's like, I'm going to be stuck in a room with this person. Like, they better have material. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I live for them. The haunted houses. My sister and Henry, it's very weird. Like, I love to do the walk through haunted houses, mm-hmm. and I love them, but I can't sit and watch, like, a stressful movie or television show. It's very bizarre. Like,
That's so crazy.
It's so stupid.
What? Because I only like to watch stressful and scary stuff.
Because, like, I guess
so
it's
fuels me.
I don't know. I've talked about this so much on the pod, but, like, I guess when I'm sitting there... and it's happening in front of me. Like, I feel
you're
like
not doing
I can't
anything.
Go anywhere. Yeah. Like, at least in a haunted house, I can run the fuck away.
Yeah.
But anyway, I went to Universal Studios for their Halloween Horror Nights, and they do a great job.
Oh, they do it up.
Yeah, I mean, they have...
They're not playing.
I think they announced it's coming back. They're going to do it. We should go in October is when we should go next.
Oscar?
Yeah,
hello?
Come.
You gotta.
Because my sister lives down there. She came over. Henry and I went, and we did... all the haunted houses, and they had a gag-worthy American Horror Story house where there was, they did Murder House, which was season one, Freak right. Show, and Hotel.
Okay.
And so you know there was an Angela Bassett walking around in there. Angela Bassett jumped out at me with a knife, and I literally said to her, I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, you're like, I live for
I was
you.
Like, literally this, and they're so good.
Yeah. Oh, they get the best.
And I'm not
They don't cut corners.
Yeah, no. I'm not an American Horror Story fan because like I said, I don't like to watch that shit, but my sister loves the show and we got out of there and she was like, "You guys need to watch that show to understand how much they just nailed it."
Wow.
Like every scene that you could remember from the show was in there. Like it was very specific.
Oh, that's great. Mm.
And also they cuz it's Universal and it's like movies and stuff, they recreate There was one for The Exorcist, which was the only one we didn't do.
Oh.
Because my sister was like, I'm not doing any kind of health devil shit.
Yeah.
The exorcism shit really bothers my sister.
I love
a lot of people do. A lot of there is a weird sort of like kind of like gradient of like when it comes to religion or like, you know, God and the devil, they won't get into it. But if it's like serial killers or like werewolves and vampires, then it's fair game.
Which
is so funny to me.
Yeah, what's the biggest gag horror movie? For you, of all time.
Oh my God.
We're talking to a horror expert.
I mean, you're getting it.
Let's
go. You're asking for it.
Let's go.
I mean, like, what kind, though? Because there's different types.
Give us, like, campy, like, Sleepaway Camp category style.
Basket Case.
Okay, gotta check that out. I'm so bad with horror movies.
It's the best.
What about Serial Killer?
Serial Killer sort of, I mean, a Sleepaway Camp is, like, my favorite slasher sort of movie. Sort of like Exorcist is truly one of the, I mean, it's basic as hell to say, but it truly is one of the most scariest movies you'll ever see.
Wow.
Just because the way that they dealt with the quote unquote scares of it is so grounded.
Yeah.
Ooh. That you're just like, oh my God, like this, we live in this world.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What's like your favorite like thriller, like psychological thriller? I guess that's specific.
God.
You don't have to have an answer. Flight plan.
I was gagged for Saw.
Red Eye is great.
Red Eye. Red Eye.
Oh, Red Eye's good. I like Red Eye.
I love Red Eye.
Did
also,
you see the first Saw?
I did. I did like Saw. I did like the Saw. I mean, a lot of people. Lot of people hate the sort of like torture porn stuff.
Yeah.
I don't. I really. I enjoy the torture stuff.
So like The Hills Have Eyes, because I hate it.
I do. I mean, Human Centipede. I liked. Oh. You know what I mean? I'm into all that kind of stuff. All that gross, disgusting stuff. I love.
What's Basket Case?
Oh my God.
I don't even know what Basket Case is.
Basket Case is a movie directed by Frank Henenlotter, and I know this because I have a restraining order against him.
Not really.
Yes, ma'am.
What?
Oh, shit.
Okay. Yeah,
I've never heard this.
Yes, let's get into it. So, in New York, I used to host a show called Midnight Movies with Montoya. That's my last name. At the Pit. Uh-huh. And once a month, every Saturday, I would screen one of my favorite movies. Uh-huh. And for my birthday, I've screened like The Room and Mac and Me and those classic sort of kind of movies. And for my birthday, I wanted to screen Basket Case. Uh-huh. And in those movies, I usually get someone who worked in the movie to talk about it and stuff. Great. It's like very Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't you get Greg Sestero from The Room? Yeah.
Yes. Wow. Good job.
Yes. So So for Basket Case, I got one of the actresses, Beverly Bonner, who is just a true gift to the world. Uh-huh. And she was like so excited, and she's like, oh my gosh, I have to tell Frank about this because he will love. And then instead of loving it, he sent me an email being like, I do not approve of this. Like, I don't want people to come into my movies and making fun of my work. And I'm like, you don't understand. Oh. You are my hero. Like, I am obsessed with all of your movies. Brain Damage, Frankenhooker, like all of those are just like huge influences.
Earnest
for me.
Love for those movies.
Yeah, like, and I'm like, it's actually just gonna be a celebration of your work. Okay. Like, I just want people to like find out more about you. And he was like, I will get my lawyers involved if you don't stop. And I'm like, okay, well, I much respect, but this is a legally, I'm allowed to screen this, you know? And sure enough,
oh my
I got a letter.
That's so, like a Don't Meet Your Heroes moment a little bit.
For sure. Yeah. But you know, I Frank Henenlotter has emailed me. I have his email address.
That's so funny.
I got a letter. I mean, like,
And why the restraining order?
I think that was his like. I think it was like he wanted to go further than a cease and desist. Like a cease and desist was not enough.
Oh, Jesus. What a
humorless
like a fucking crazy.
I know. No. Yeah. So it's. I mean, I think it's, I don't know if it like really is or just like a threat of a restraining
like an empty
order.
Threat, yeah.
But I mean, I loved it. I mean, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to interact with one of my heroes.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So like, yeah. Anyway.
The fact that you walked away from that experience, that like kind of horrific legal experience, being like, at least I got to meet him. Like,
oh, for sure.
Frank, Frank is like, says everything about you, and I love it.
Oh my God.
What's the
but
movie
anyway,
about?
Okay, so the movie is about this guy. It takes place in like the late 70s, early 80s, and he like goes to this seedy sort of hotel in like pre-Giuliani Times Square, so it's like very shady, you know?
Yeah.
And he's carrying a basket with him, like a giant sort of like, basket. And like the tag is like, what's in the basket? Because that's what everyone asks him. Uh-huh. And he doesn't want to say. And he's kind of like this weird sort of like mousy, like very just like easily excitable man. And what's in this basket is his twin brother, Belial, who was a Siamese twin that when he was he was just, it's literally a lump of flesh.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, it's like a weird tumor monster.
It's alive?
That is alive.
No,
so
thanks.
when they were younger, they like separated all these doctors like kidnapped him and his twin brother and separated them because he's like, I don't want my son being a freak, so let's kill Belial. But they didn't kill Belial. And Belial and this guy have this sort of psychic connections like twins do.
Yeah.
And so they move back to kind of kill all of the doctors that operated on them. And then, you know, shit goes down. But it's like one of those like movies that were made by like, I mean, it, like the budget was maybe $8,000. Do you know what I mean? Just like really just terribly done.
Wow.
Like I love that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? My whole aesthetic is just cheap, ugly stuff. Like tacky.
John Waters
is like my hero of all time.
Oh,
you know what
God.
I mean? Divine, Edith Massey. Like those are my icons. Those are my true icons. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Real quick, before we do, I don't think so, honey. RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9, thoughts?
Oof.
I think it's...
Well...
Go.
Go.
This is going to come out a couple weeks, so we're going to be a little outdated, but tell me thoughts.
I just think... I can't tell if it's either... I would say across... I would say in general, it's like an even season. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of... It's an even playing field. But I can't tell if the bar is low or if the bar is high. I truly can't tell.
Okay, okay.
If it's like these are really polished queens all competing on the same level and there's no like huge outlier, or if it's a low bar and everyone's just bad.
Right. I don't think everyone is bad. I think it's also like kind of too early to call it.
Yeah. Pre-snatch game, by the way.
Exactly. This is pre-snatch game, right? I think snatch game is a huge turning point when you're like, okay, now let's really compare seasons.
Yes, yes.
Because I think we're not giving it. I know a lot of people are like, these queens are like, you know what I mean, just like kind of like
snoozes.
resting right now. But I'm like, yeah, but like what other season besides I would say like 8 and 6 were the queens like bringing it right from the gate?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, 5?
Mm-hmm. I think with
Sharon? Is that the season?
No, the last four.
Jinx, Roxy, that's right. Alyssa Coco, like, even
that season, I think. Like, you know, until
Alaska was rough the first episode.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Alaska didn't activate for me until like way later in the season.
Sure.
I think that we're being a little hard on it. However, I will say this. The front runner right now from where we sit is, we can agree, Valentina.
Valentina.
Mm-hmm. Is the front runner. I think she will not be looked back on well as a standout winner unless she really gags.
Oh, you think she's
going to
win?
I think right now she's going
to
win.
Well, I also think it's too early to call it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Based on storylines, I feel like we have not really dug all that there is to Valentina. We haven't dug up all there is to Peppermint.
To Aja.
I think Peppermint still has to blossom. I feel like Peppermint is a contender, but like we don't know that. No one knows that. We know that because we've seen Peppermint live.
She's
amazing.
She's a contender. Yeah.
She's
like,
fucking amazing.
About that,
you know what I mean? When that doesn't come through, that's like a huge red flag. Also amazing live is Sasha Velour, and that is not coming through on the show.
Yeah.
And like, Aja too.
Aja too, amazing. But, like, but the thing is, it's different to win that show. Yeah, it's different. It's like
you have to have a specific set of skills for a TV show.
Which makes it all the more impressive that Bob is both amazing live and hacked it.
Crazy. No, he was 100% deserving winner. I think right now, what is there, 11 queens left? I think the only for sure thing you can say in terms of what's going to be the result is that Valentina will be in the top three.
Agreed.
I think there's no way.
Agreed.
And then I think the rest of the top three is going to be filled out by some combination of Shea Coulee, Trinity Taylor, Eureka O'Hara, and maybe there you have your Sasha Velour. Maybe.
Wow, no mention of Nina Bonina?
And Nina Bonina Brown, I was just going to say, is the last one that I think could definitely be there.
Nina.
Okay.
However, there's like...
There's something going on. Yeah. I'm worried for her. But I also relate to her so much.
Me too.
Wild card. Wild card, Alexis Michelle. Wild card.
No, honey, no. I mean, like, I love her, but also... It's all about the editing too. It's like, who are the characters that we respond to?
It's like,
you know what I mean?
It's already being forecasted in the edit.
Oh, for sure.
And Aja's getting a really featured edit. I think Aja is an Adore thing.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Henry, my boyfriend, is really pulling for Aja.
Okay.
He's like in the Aja camp.
I love Aja because she's just a scrappy queen.
Scrappy
and I love girls that just like fight hard.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Who and are, I mean, like, Aja's got that like sort of magic where she's a little bit delusional, which I like in my drag queens. I love that sort of like
not fully self-aware.
Not even on this planet, like reality wise like is not aware of how the world works. Like, that's how I want my drag queens to be,
right.
Completely oblivious to the life's real tea.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I guess I just want to be knocked flat on my ass.
And it hasn't happened yet?
The only time I've been like, oh my God, is when Valentina came out in the wedding dress. I screamed.
She's a look queen.
She's killing it. And also we've in the minor performance things we've seen, she's done well.
I've seen her live and she's truly fantastic.
The only one that's like really nailing it in everything right now is Shea Coulee, and still I think she's only an 8 out of 10.
I know.
Jack of all trades,
and those do not, those girls don't win. But best of luck.
I love her personality so much.
Same.
She's great. Like, very charming.
Oh God. Everything she wears, I'm like, I would wear that. I would wear that. I would wear that.
Yeah, she's looking great.
She's like Katya a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Very similar.
Reminds me of that. Very likable. Just very like, solid.
Yeah. But
yep. Fifth place.
Not like self-deprecating enough, I think.
Sure. Oh, no.
She's just like very real.
Just Shake charming. Just,
yeah.
Great.
It's Fantastic. Time for I Don't Think So, Honey.
Oh, my God.
Moment. Here we go. It is our moment to rail against culture for 1 minute. You take the culture into your hands and you destroy it.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what I'm going
to
say.
Just wait. It comes to you at the last minute, yeah. And that's when you know it's inspired. So I'll go first. And here we go. This is
Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. And time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Radio Shack stores across America. Thank God you're closing. Good fucking riddance. I Don't Think So, Honey. The Radio Shack I went to yesterday on Sunset Boulevard. I tried to get a new cord, a lightning charger cable cord for my iPhone. The young lady who was working there, she was the only person working that store. You know, don't try to upsell fucking batteries at me at the fucking register. She gave me this cord. It broke within 6 hours. Honey, I Don't Think So, Honey. This girl, she seemed like a nice person, but she was blasting Most Girls by Pink when I walked in. And honestly, I was gagged a little bit because I listened to it on my walk back. But I Don't Think So, Honey. You selling me a shitty product. And it's unacceptable. I Don't Think So, Honey. And I don't think you even have a return policy because you're closing. Where are you going to keep all that overstock? Honey, I Don't Think So, Honey. Radio Shack, I Don't Think So, Honey. We don't need you anymore, honey. We are living in a cordless, 15. Wire-free society, honey. I Don't Think So, Honey. So good riddance, you're gone. Best Buy 10. Is the big monolith now. I Don't Think So, Honey. I'm going to Best Buy whenever I can. Best Buy Five. Is the gag. Best Buy can buy some headphones and a phone case and some gift cards.
That's 1 minute.
I Don't Think So, Honey.
Run out of steam.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
Wow.
You were very front loaded, but you went with what was in the front killed.
Seriously, you were swimming and then you kind of dog paddled at the end.
You killed it for 45 seconds.
How dare you?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I like it. This is. I mean, I've never done this before. This is. This cannot be easy.
I Don't Think So, Honey is an art, and all art should be critiqued.
Yes, but to be critiqued in this way.
No, I get it. I felt your passion, Bowen. I felt your passion.
Give it some distance first.
Start!
This is Matt Rodgers. I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Those of you who think it's a fucking joke when the waiter gets to you and you think it's your time to perform, bitch. It's your time to order. I Don't Think So, Honey. When I am sitting there and I'm trying to get my order and I'm a hungry bitch, I do not think it's funny, honey, when you are trying to be cute with your menu and saying, what do you like? I don't know. He is not there to order. You are. And you've been given time. There's a reason when you sit your ass down in the chair, they hand you the menu straight up front. It's because it's time to decide. And then when you start laughing about how funny it is that you haven't decided, honey, I don't think so. I'm hungry. 15 seconds. I'm not here to listen. I'm here to order. And that server, God is my witness, he is not gagged for you. He's looking at you and he doesn't like you. None of you are cute if you can't be concise at the table. I don't think so, honey.
That's 1 minute. Oscar, response.
Whoa, you really let us all have it.
It's not cute.
Oscar, do you have a response to that?
My response is, you're entitled to your own opinion, but that's not the way it went down, but okay.
Okay,
the
girl.
Way it had went down...
Oh, you gonna set the facts straight, girl? You gonna set the facts straight, okay?
Oscar, whatever, girl.
You know, okay. All right.
All I know is I was waiting.
This is a contentious environment.
First of all, I just want to say that I literally was like, the waiter came and he was like, oh, who'd like to go first? And I said, Matt, because I was like, Matt knows what he wants. And you literally were like, no, I'm not ready, Rachel.
Yeah, which is a decision. That's a decision. No. So me saying, no, you know what? I'm actually not ready. Rachel, who had said, yeah. I said, she's ready. Start with her. And then she was like,
oh my God. Stop it.
And I was like, girl, come correct.
Come correct. Rachel Chapman.
Shout out to Rachel Chapman.
If you'd like to rebut this, please send us a message.
Comment below.
Comment below
because
we'll give you the platform.
Because I have a comment for you at the dinner table, and it is no.
Okay.
Wait. Okay. Never mind.
What?
I was gonna get into like what are some things that people have been.
You want. So it's like
you can also have something selected for you.
Oh sure, it's called the Troll Bowl, and you have
no fuck that.
Okay, great. So you have something in mind.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Oscar Montoya.
Oh, God, I'm nervous.
I don't think so, honey. I can't believe this is happening. I'm so excited. Oscar Montoya's I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Palm trees in Hollywood, California. Oh! What the fuck is your story, okay? Just palm trees, period. Like, what are you doing here, okay? You are too tall to be trees. You've been around forever, since the dinosaur times. I feel like every time I walk down Sunset, I feel like I'm in the fucking Flintstones. Explain yourself. Palm trees. I don't think so, honey. When the palm fronds fall down, it might kill me by falling down on my head. I don't think so, honey. I've worked this long to stay alive, and I don't want to die in an embarrassing way by having a fucking leaf fall on my head. I don't think so, honey. I read somewhere that rats live inside of palm trees. What the fuck is happening, sweet teas? I don't want rats to be living in Hollyweird. Hollyweird is weird enough, honeys, okay? I don't want to be walking down the street, looking at a palm tree, and then just seeing the rats of them all around me. I don't want to deal with that. Palm trees, no. You need to be cut down because you are a liability. Why are you in Los Angeles? Why are you in Florida? Why are you in this world? Delete. Goodbye. Forever.
And
goodbye.
That's 1 minute.
Yeah, well, he got 1 minute and 7, but you know what? It was great.
It was a fantastic one.
It's such a... It doesn't make sense
palm
to
trees,
me.
How do you feel after it? I don't think so, honey.
It felt good. It felt good, and it wasn't, honestly, not what I was planning to talk about.
But look, it was impassioned, and you felt your fantasy.
I have to say, that is the title of this episode, Feel Your Fantasy.
That's
because
it.
Because Oscar Montoya, you teach us to do that, and you truly are a beautiful person in
that
our
is my
lives.
Mantra.
So beautiful, Oscar. The beauty emanates from all corners.
Stop it.
From all crevices, from all pits.
That sounds weird.
I believe it.
Oscar is very special to us, and we flew here.
Just for this.
Wait, I miss you guys so. Like,
I miss you. Wait,
hold, honestly, hold truly, hands. truly.
I know, it's such a good vibe.
Do you know what I mean? Right? Do you not remember me saying that two days ago?
Day. I know.
We were all working, doing our stuff, and I was just like, my children were home.
I felt very at ease.
Do you know what I mean?
Very natural. Yeah. It was a natural state.
And it just was like, right, we're all here. We're all creating. We're all like fighting this fight together.
Oh my God. You could even say that we're blessed. With everything that's in me, bless. Come on, with all the tenderness you show, do my best. With every breath that's in me, to say you never go, never go.
Wow,
this is Las Culturistas. My name is Bowen Yang.
My name is Matt Rogers,
and that is
Oscar Montoya. So yeah, am I saying that right?
I don't know. We gotta go. Bye.
Bye. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.